I've been grappling what to speak about today, because this Mishnah we could spend literally 6 months on. The next Mishnah. The Mishnah says that we're to learn Asor Nisyonis Nisnasa Avram Avinu. Avram was tested with 10 tests, V'amad Bekulam, and he successfully passed all of them. Lahodia, to inform us, Kama Chibosu Shel Avram Avinu, how beloved Avram Avinu was. We could actually discuss each one of the Nisyonis. They're all fascinating. It seems like there should be an Nisyon, they're not. There's also a huge argument in the Rishonim, what counts as an Nisyon, which things count, what activities in his life and events in his life are actually included in the 10 Nisyonis. And I've actually been thinking to talk about either of those topics and take one of the Nisyonis to give us a whole new insight in that. Literally, this is a year. This Mishnah is a year. But I'll tell you what I decided to talk about, and I'm trying to see how to make it as relevant as possible. And that is something that I think we all deal with. What is an Nisyon? What does it mean Avram Avinu was tested with 10 Nisyonis? I think all of life on any given day and every day, every circumstance, is constant tests. What does it mean Avram Avinu had 10 tests? Put it another way, would one not say that Yaakov Avinu had tests, maybe even more than 10? How do you think it is feeling on a daily basis the son you love's not there? How do you deal with that issue? And figuring out who actually contributed to his not being there. That's not a small thing, too. Besides an ongoing relationship with Esav, that's a pretty big test, too. A brother that's trying to kill you, you have to hide from him. Huge being separated from his parents. Huge, huge tests. He himself tells Pyro out of his own mouth, my days have been few and bad. So that's a person who had a huge amount of tests. And that the Mishnah nowhere talks about the tests of Yaakov Avinu. So I was wondering, why are we categorizing the things of Avram Avinu as tests? Aren't we being tested every single day? Isn't life a constant series of tests? Occasionally there's certain events that may be, or not that, but mostly on an ongoing basis. I don't want to discuss the test of remaining married. That's not a small test either. Putting up with things and surviving that, it's not a small test. There's some young girls here, so I don't think it's worthwhile discouraging anybody. I decided I would talk about this. It's an incredibly difficult problem. I've actually been thinking about it, grappling with the issue, and seeing how to make it relevant. I think the only definition I could come up with, that a test doesn't mean those things that life confronts us on an ongoing basis. You know what I mean? A person loses their parnassa. Is that a test? God forbid a sick child. Is that a test? God forbid loss of a child. They're all tests. God forbid loss of a spouse. They're all huge tests. So what I was thinking, it must mean over here, and we have some indication from a few places in the text that we know that, in the test word, that they were specifically designed for Avram. These were special, tailor-made tests for Avram. Hashem did something specifically, communicated something to Avram that was a test. For example, Hashem went to him and said, Lech lecha me'artzecha. I want you to leave your land. Whatever the difficulty of that was, that's another class. What is the difficulty of that? He promises him wealth, he promises him children, he promises him fame. Why is it a test? But we know that was a specific commandment from the Almighty that Avram should do something. And however it's going to be explained at the end of the day, it's going to be something that maybe logically he would have a lot of reasons not to do, and he was being tested. Okay. The Akeda also. There the Torah itself calls it a test. Vashem Nisos Avram. God tested Avram. Okay, that's a test. Go take your son and offer him as a sacrifice. That's a huge test. But in the list of the ten, I'll take, let's say according to Rashi's list of the ten, Sarah Imenu was taken away by Paro. Is that a special test? I mean, Paro didn't... Oh, a Roman. This is a woman I want. That was the common practice over there. That was part of living in that part of the area. You went to those countries, those things happen. Avimelech did the same thing. Not only that, Avram himself says he knew, and he told his wife, this the Torah tells us, when Avimelech asked him, how did you say it was your sister? He tells him, listen, from the time we left my father's house, I said, wherever we're going to go, let's represent ourselves as brother and sister. So that was a common practice before he had met a Paro, before he had met an Avimelech. He told that to his wife. He had a beautiful wife. He knew it could be a problem. So what kind of test is that? That's a test of being alive. What was the test? Hashem devised something special for Avram? What does it mean? It was a test. He had a son, Layalechem, that had serious problems. He wanted to kill his brother. That's a test. Those things happen in life. Child goes off the derech. He's creating problems for the siblings. How do you deal with that? I mean, a lot of us have sat in this room. Why is that a test for Avram? Is that specially devised for Avram Avinu? What does it mean, 10 tests? What I would like to suggest, we'll see what the implications is, that there's obviously a difference between a test that's part of living and tests that are specifically designed for the person. But I'd like to suggest that the Asar Nisyonis means this was not part of ongoing living, but this was special test that Hashem devised and designed for Avram. So I say, Lech Lecha, everybody can agree right away. The Akeid, everybody will agree. But Paro taking Sar, what does that have to do with anything? Vimelech sending his child away. A very interesting thing here. It really changed my own perspective on the whole thing. Avram Avinu, the king of the whole area by the name of Nimrod, is very upset with the fact that Avram is breaking idols, spreading a word that of monotheism. And what he does is he arrests him, asks him to change his recant his position, or if not, he's going to throw him into a furnace. And what happens? He throws him into a furnace. Everybody knew about this, and he walks out unscathed. That's an incredible miracle. Incredible. In fact, Chazal tells us, and Rashi brings this in Chumash, that a similar thing happened that when the four kings were fighting the five kings, and the five kings were losing and they tried to escape. So the king of Sodom actually fell into some type of furnace or some type of pit that he would have likely died, and he was saved. And that was to prove, to teach everybody that which happened to Avram was a real story. That really happened to Avram. It's everybody knew about. Remember, that happened in Iraq. Sodom is in Israel. That's quite a distance, especially in those days. And yet, I guess there were some scoffers who said that story out of Iraq is just a legend. It didn't really happen. Well, you see, Hashem does things like this. And therefore, that validates. That's what Rashi tells us in Chumash. When a story like that happens, a person is thrown in by the king, tried to kill, and he walks out unscathed. What do you think should be people's attitude towards somebody like that? I guess, as they would say it in modern, man walks on water. I mean, it can't happen. And if it did happen, and there were so many witnesses to it, then this person has godly qualities. This is an outstanding person. This is somebody holy, great, and one, he cannot be harmed. And the king, the strongest king in the world, couldn't harm him. Another little story. The age of 73, Avram's nephew is taken captive by the four kings when they came to invade Sodom. And Avram went, four kings was, the rabbis tell us, they assembled the largest army had ever been assembled. And only three times in human history was such a large army assembled. And they took these people and the captives, they captured Sodom, they looted the city, and they also took Lot, Avram's nephew. What does Avram do? He goes and takes on four kings. He took on Red China. Don't put it like some type of modern thing. One person, maybe with Eliezer, he took on Red China. The military might of Red China, or the military might of the SS and the Wehrmacht and the Luftwaffe, all at once. He took on the German Nazi. And you know what he did? He defeated them single-handedly with his Eliezer and got back Lot and got back all the hostages, Sodom, etc. That's a person who was literally, I mean, of course it was miracles. When he threw dirt, they became weapons. The rabbis, the Talmud describes, it was a miracle upon miracle. But not only a miracle that nobody can touch him, he can go to the offensive and do something horrendous to mighty armies. You know, like a legend of Superman, this would be, he's a Superman. But God gave him those powers, but he has superpowers. He's been invested with superpowers. And he can go ahead and destroy the largest army of the time and one of the largest armies ever in world history. How should we feel about a person like that? How should the contemporary people feel about him at that time? Person, he can't be touched. The king can't touch him. When somebody tried to take away from him a nephew, what happened? He went in there and destroyed them. Correct? 2 years later, there's a famine in the land of Israel, and he has to go down to Egypt. And all of a sudden, he's worried. His wife is going to be taken away. You say you're my sister. And not only that, Pharaoh actually takes a man with that type of reputation. First of all, let's talk about what does that mean in the world? Would that be something that anybody should have, would start up with a person like that? You have to be crazy. In 5 minutes, he'll go and wipe out if he can wipe out four kings, he can wipe out a little banana republic like Egypt. He took the four major military armies on together. Egypt? They shouldn't start up with him. What about Abraham himself? He should be worried his wife's going to be taken. He'll wipe him out. Why was this a test? Didn't make any sense. Nobody was being tested. There was no threat. Not to Abraham, not to Sarah. The whole thing, the storyline doesn't make any sense. If you put it in the backdrop, I put it, by the way, in the chronological order that most of the Rishonim say happened. So first, certainly the earliest event was him being miraculously saved from Ur Kasdim. The second event is, according to most of the Rishonim, he was 73 when he took on the nations and destroyed the four nations and recaptured Lot. He's 75 when he arrives in Israel. There's a famine and he goes down to Egypt. That happened when he was 75, 76. It doesn't, the whole thing makes sense. What's he frightened about? What's going on over here? This is Superman with superpowers that have been demonstrated to the world. I think it must be telling us one thing. These should not have been tests at all. There's not a test. Nothing's going to happen to him. People got to be frightened of him, terrified of him. It must be that what the Almighty is telling us and telling Avram, that whatever happened to you does not change your perception in the eyes of everybody around you. That has nothing to do with anything. Whatever miracles happen This is for your eyes, for your growth. It has nothing to do with the way other people are going to think about you. Not one person is all of a sudden now afraid of Avram because of the miracles that happened. I guess they rationalized that this was God doing something and Avram have to be there, however it is. But this is not something that the perception of who he was changed. Avram was not considered powerful. He wasn't considered omnipotent. He wasn't considered mighty. A small banana republic king can grab his wife. That's a pretty strong invasion of a person's what's precious. When his nephew was taken, I would have to believe his wife was closer to him than his nephew. He went and put his life in the line and knocked out four major armies. His wife, he would have surely done the same thing. So what's going on over here? The answer has to be that whatever happened to Avram, that was for Avram. That's not the way he was perceived in the world to be any different. It's a very interesting thing, because that's not the way we would normally would all say. Had we been there, there would have been a huge write-up in the New York Times, and the world would be on all everybody's cell phone. They would get text messages, and it would be all over CNN, Fox News, and everybody would know that, and this is somebody who's overnight become a world power. Even though there's plenty of publicity, people know somehow it did not affect anybody's, literally, their way they were going to deal with them. I gave it maybe one rational, partial rational explanation. And that's when God made a miracle. He's just made an unbelievable miracle. He happened to be the beneficiary of the miracle, but he did not become empowered by what he did. And the fact is, perception of who Avram was not changed. What about his son went off the derech? Why is that a test? It's something I think very interesting. It's also not the way it's traditionally, I think, or at least I didn't generally understand it that way. What was the right thing for Avram to do? Listen to Sarah, send his son away. No, that was the wrong thing. The right thing would have been, growing up in Avram's house, Avram had a very special relationship with Yishmael. In fact, before Yitzhak was born, when Hashem gave Avram a prophecy that you're going to have another son, he said, I don't need another son. I already have Yishmael. So not only there was a great affection between the two, he also recognized Yishmael had great qualities. He says, I don't need the Jewish people. Lu Yishmael Yichye Lefonecha. 3 days after Yishmael is circumcised at the age of 13, Avram is already making him run around to take care of, to get meat, run around to the corral to get meat for the guests. So you're talking about a person of extraordinary abilities, extraordinary righteousness, Yishmael. Plus the fact that a very close relationship that Avram appreciated. And therefore I think that Avram felt, okay, now there's a problem with him. I'm going to work with the problem. I have a child at home who has a problem. He understands the source of the problem. Till now he was the heir apparent of Avram on a financial basis, on the basis of the Jewish people. And all of a sudden, it's been taken away from him. From the day Yitzchak is born, no matter how good Yitzchak is to Yishmael, Yitzchak is taking away Yishmael's heritage, his whole life's mission. He's not going to be the continuation of Avram. And therefore he's furious and tries to kill him. Everything is true. I'll deal with that. He should actually have dealt with that. And Avram probably would have been capable of dealing with that. And not only that, he probably is very smart, Avram, and he's very persuasive. He's able to, the whole world, he's being able to move them into monotheism. He probably could deal with his son, too. I mean, there are mostly emotional issues of jealousy here. We're not talking about serious philosophical questions. We're talking about a boy who loves his father, had a sense of expectations, now sibling rivalry, and insanely jealous of his... Okay, but there's solutions to that. The Arabs are not pretty short of what they have today, right? What was the cost of oil today? They're not short. You know, they're not short. World power, they're not short of. He probably could have explained and given over and, you know, I'm sure he could have. The test was he was told to send them away. Didn't make any sense though. That was the test. This was not the problem of a child that has a problem. That's not a test. That's a normal type of test. Is it unlikely? Is that a problem? Really, is that a problem? Is there any way that a child isn't going to be jealous? That you need Hashem made a special test over there? What kind of test? You have a child. Until now was number one. Now you have number two child. And number two child is replacing number one child. It's going to be a sibling rival. And didn't start with him. We had that already with Cain and Hevel. We had that with Shem, Chom, and Yefes. And we have that afterwards with Yaakov and Esav. That's a normal thing if the younger brother. So what kind of test is why are you calling this a test? The test isn't that he was upset, jealous, wanted to kill his brother. Right? His great-great-grandfather had already killed the... Hevel killed Cain because of jealousy. Cain killed Hevel because of jealousy. Right? Cain killed Abel because he was jealous. There's nothing. The test was that Avram was told to do it in a way that doesn't make any sense. Send them away. Give them a message. Maybe you don't care. Right? When you throw your child away, so you could be talking to yourself, it's for his benefit. You could say that to yourself, but how do you think the child feels that? Out of the house. Rejection. And therefore, part of what you want to accomplish to bring him back, you're compounding by sending him away. Whereas if he stays home, he understands how difficult it is for you to keep him home and how dangerous it is, but you trust him, you know he can work out his issues. It's a different confidence, it's a different reaffirmation of believing him. In him, it has nothing to do with the child having problems. What it has to do with is the fact that Hashem told him to send away, which, by the way, if everybody thought this is a proof that you're obligated to listen to your wife in this parsha, that the wife knows better, I think it's saying here exactly the opposite, actually. It's saying is, the reason you should listen to Sarah, Rashi says, not because she's smarter, not because she understands the situation better, because what it says, the way Rashi reads the pasuk, Kol Asher Tomar Sarah, you should listen to the Kol Ruach HaKodesh. Hashem says, that's a divine message from me. I'm telling you to listen to her because I told her to say that. That's not her wisdom. And the opposite, the wisdom here was the conventional wisdom, the smartest thing to do, the most intelligent thing to do, and it makes a big difference for us today. You have a problem, confront it, deal with the child. Don't throw them away, make them feel rejected that you gave up hope. Invest emotionally in them, let them know how precious. Of course, you have to keep on top of it because you're worried that they could harm the other children, but keep on top of it. That's the right thing to do. Avram is being told here to do the thing. That's not the logical way. That's a test. All the tests we're saying are specifically devised for Avram tests that shouldn't have been. Either it shouldn't have been because logically everybody should know you don't start up with Avram. Paro should be afraid to start up. Avimelech should be afraid to start. They should all be afraid to start up with Avram. And let's talk about Avimelech. Forget about the four kings they devised. He already had a story by Paro. A couple of years earlier, what happened? Paro took his wife, and all of a sudden, all type of plagues strike out in the Egyptian monarchy, in the household. Everybody knows these stories. So Avimelech does the same thing later. What's he stupid to? Not only has he defeated kings, somebody who tried to do what you did, Avimelech, you know what happened in Egypt? And by the way, that was well-known information. You know I know it was well-known information? That was well-known, what happened in Egypt. It says a very fascinating thing. When 100 years later, when Yehuda is arguing with Yosef regarding Binyamin, send them out, Yehuda alludes, Rashi says, to if you don't send them out, what happened to your grandfather is going to happen to you. Which means what happened to the family when they took Sarah, that everybody became, all kind of plagues visited the house, that's going to happen to you. He alludes to something that happened hundreds of years, and it's like it happened yesterday because everybody knows it hundreds of years later. The entire story of tests are, tests do not give a person a security that he's become greater in the eyes of others. He's become more powerful in the eyes of others. Tests make you a stronger person, and it becomes clear to others. The whole idea of a test from Hashem is for you. It has nothing to do with the way you're going to be perceived, which gives a whole integrity to a test. Test, you know, part of the things, imagine you pass a test, and now you are recognized as a powerful person, you're recognized as a wise person who overcomes a tough situation. That could become part of your reason to do the right thing. Because I know if I do the right thing, I'm going to make an accomplishment. The whole idea of a test is they're only accomplishments for you. There's no accomplishment here for the community. For you, I mean, the way the community perceives you. You are doing the right thing. And not part of what could affect the way you decide is, well, you know, if I do this, the community is going to see I'm a courageous person. I have courage. Stand up for my beliefs, and I'll get the respect of the community. The answer is, if you pass the test, you don't get one iota of respect from the community. You don't get one iota of more strength. And it has to be that way. Why does it have to be that way? Otherwise, that might be the reason you decide to do the right thing. You're not deciding because it's right. You're deciding because you're going to be more appreciated, more respected. There's absolutely not one iota of respect that comes. That's in those tests that Hashem devises. Tests that we all have on a daily basis. They're natural things. If, in fact, you choose the right thing, you're going to get the respect. You know, you have a, God forbid, somebody has Parnassa issues. And they lost the Parnassa, and instead of getting hysterical, instead of losing their composure, instead of losing their humanity, with even their new limited means, they do chesed that they can now afford. Before that, they could give money, they can't give money. But there's other chesed. They give a person a ride. Pretty sure you can't afford that anymore also. But you welcome a person to sleep in your house, things that don't cost you money. There's other ways to deal with it. So if you do that on a natural type of test, that we're all in a financial crunch, because of circumstances, and you actually withstand the test, you actually do become a better person. And you become a more courageous person and a more recognized person. But that's not the test that Hashem gives. That's true. We all, our whole life is tests, and those tests make us better people, and those tests make us better people to ourselves and better people to our community, and we become perceived as a person who's gone through a lot, and you see on the person a huge amount of growth, and you get your respect for that person grows up. That's a test that Hashem doesn't devise. That's the test of living. Every test of living that we pass makes us a better person, not only for ourselves, but the rest of our friends, for our contemporaries, for our society. They realize, yeah, that's a person with courage. That's a person who does the right thing or figures out a way to do chesed even when they don't have money. That's a person who, despite you know, the fact that her husband's not making a living, she's stuck with her husband. You know, there's a huge amount of respect the person gets for passing tests. That's wonderful. But that's not the test of Avram. The tests of Avram are tests that there's absolutely no benefit to anybody, to anyone passing that test, other than to Avram himself. Tests are that he's doing the right thing, not that his status will be elevated, his standard of respect will be elevated. It is about doing the right thing. When Hashem, these are specially devised tests. Let me ask you a question. How do you think, let's take the extreme form, Avraham Avinu was told to take his son to offer him as a sacrifice. And he almost did. How do you think people thought about Avraham afterwards? I can't imagine that he earned more respect. In fact, I would dare say he probably, once Here, we're living in one son he threw out of the house. You don't do what I want, he throws you out of the house. That was one son. The second son, he must have done something. He brought him to the brink of killing him. It's not exactly a name you would like to have in the community. I think the whole idea of tests here is not for community. It's only about you. Tests have nothing, and there should be no focus on how others are going to perceive you. These are tests that Hashem devises. When the tests of living, those are actually tests that we all have, and part of the reward of those tests, which we are tested every day, is I grow personally, and also, hopefully, my stature in the community. I'm growing. It becomes pretty evident. I did this to other people. One person got depressed. He closed his business down. I got depressed, and I figured out how to take responsibility, keep the business going. And, you know, now, thank God, I'm still able to support my family and somebody else. One on charity. That's a real thing. Things that happen naturally, the growth is a natural thing too, and it achieves an effect in the world. What the Mishnah is telling us here is Avram was tested 10 times in things that literally he derived zero respect for what he did. Zero respect for the accomplishments of the test. Zero respect to the community because of what he did. After it happens the first time, somebody else is still going to try and take his wife. After he destroys enemies, however Hashem put it into, he devised this test. I'm saying Hashem divide. He actually had to give him brain surgery that there would be ways that people would figure out that even though he defeated four kings, he's not going to be able to. You think Pharaoh would start up with somebody that he think has the power of Red China behind him? Crazy. A guy goes to a little Latin American banana republic over there, and he's just wiped out a major world power. You think they're going to treat him like they're going to treat him? They're going to fall on the floor in the face of great white master. And Avram, as if nothing happened. There could be an answer that people need. So Hashem had to devise that test. That's the idea of being tested by Hashem. Tested by Hashem is, will Avram do the right thing? There's actually a very interesting medrash that has a special relevance to Shavuos that may help with this message. The medrash says three people were tested, and it says like this. Had Reuven was trying to save his brother from Yosef from being killed. So he said, throw him in the pit. And his mind was, he's going to come back and rescue him. Had Reuven known that the Torah would tell over that story, this is the Medrash, you know what he would have done? He would have picked up Joseph, put him on his shoulders, and marched home. Then the Medrash says, Moshe Rabbeinu meets Aaron HaKohen. Hashem told Moshe to go back to Egypt. He said, I should take over the job. Let Aaron be the emissary. I can't do that to my brother. I'm being appointed above him. Burning bush, he told him that. Hashem says, don't worry, go to Aaron. And not only won't Aaron resent it, he'll be happy that you got the promotion. He goes back, the Torah says, Aaron comes, and he's very happy. He's really joyfully greets Moshe. You know, the narrator, the Torah says, V'roh, he saw, and he was happy. So the Medrash says over there, had Aaron knew that the Torah would write he was happy, he would have come out with an orchestra and a band. Then there's a third Medrash regarding Boaz. When Rus was collecting the gleanings in the field, so Boaz handed her some. First, he said, "You can use the water that's there, and you know I'll make sure the boys don't bother you." And he invites her to have a little water, and then he gives her a few barley corns. Torah says, had he known that, he would have given her a full meal. If he would have known that Torah would report what he served for lunch, then it would have been when he served her for lunch instead of a snack, he would have actually brought a 12-course meal, and it would have been a whole thing. What's the matter, say? What is the matter? Had the Torah written it, And if it is important, then why didn't they? If it's something that's worthwhile doing, why didn't they do it? If it's something that's not worthwhile doing because they're publicity hounds. Was it necessary for Reuven, did it make it better if Reuven, instead of leaving him in the pit, would have picked up Joseph and carried him on his shoulders? Had Aaron greeted Moshe with a big band, would that have meant more to Moshe Rabbeinu? If it would have, he should have done it. And if it wouldn't make a difference to Moshe, just Moshe seeing his face being happy was enough, then what do you mean? Well, if the Torah had written it, Aaron would have wanted the publicity that he came out with a band. Reminds me of the story of the Roshivas. That's how told me when he came to Baltimore to start the yeshiva. He sees in the paper there was 100 people came to greet him at the train station. There's no airplanes then. To greet him at the train station in the 30s. He finally sees the editor of the Jewish paper and says to him, where'd you get that number? There was only 7 people. Only about 100 people. So the guy tells him, there were 7? If I would have known that, I'd written 1,000 people came to greet him. People like that. Publicity, you know? Excuse to give publicity. So what does it mean? That there would have been a publicity hound over here? I mean, he would have been a publicity hound there. What I think the Medrash is telling us is they understood what tests were. Tests are only about you. It's not the effect that's going to have others. Yes, it would make a big effect on others if you come there with a band. There's a big effect on others if 1,000 people came. A big effect on others if Reuven puts him on the shoulder. But Reuven understood whatever he was being tested is a test for him. Is he doing the right thing? It's never about, when God divides a test for a person, about how other people are affected. I shouldn't even be thinking about that. Are my decisions affecting other people? It's about learning how to do the right thing. Now again, those things that are part of nature, that are not extraordinary tests, the regular things of living itself, I understand that. Living itself, part of living is growing, affecting other people, and there's nothing wrong over there with making a part of my concern and consideration is how I'm going to grow from this. But things which are unusual tests, that you're getting tested different than other people, that's about learning how to do the right thing. Don't expect, and it's not going to happen and shouldn't be the basis. You did the right thing. You were chayzer b'tshuva. You did the right thing. Oh, everybody's going to see I'm a better person, a quality person. It's not about that at all. It's only about you. The people will not, you're not going to have more fans, more respect. You may even have less fans and less respect. Your family may start respecting you less. Even though logically, you know, you've grown as a human being, you're a more giving person. You're a better child to your parents, and therefore you would think for sure the parents are going to recognize that. Maybe one of the motivations could be, should I do tshuva? You know what? My parents will appreciate me more. My siblings will appreciate me more because they know that my children will be more devoted to them. It's not part of the consideration. It's only about doing the right thing. It's not about how your image changes in the community, how it changes in your family. Tests are how to have I become a better person. And better person is not necessarily anything that's measurable. It could be, it should be measured, but the fact is, the Ribbono Shel Olam makes sure that that measure doesn't become now. People are not going to start respecting you more. And don't even think they will. Maybe it'll even be less now that you've become religious. In fact, a lot of people who become Bali Tshuva don't find that out till later. They find out that the friends, they thought like this. They become Bali Tshuva, and now they're going to be more accepted in the religious community. And of course, all the other friends are still going to have. You know what always happens? Almost invariably, all the friends that they used to have, they become an anathema to. They can't stand them. They don't want to invite them. They don't want to socialize with them. They don't invite them to their bar mitzvahs. They don't invite them to their simchas. They're nothing. And in the religious community, they're not yet there. So don't think about, it's about learning how to do the right thing. It's not about creating some type of achievement. I think it's a very, very important message. I say that's really what I'm sure is the type of test we're talking about, Avraham Avinu. Now, I don't say it's always like that. Things that are natural, it's So natural things, people know how I react, how you react, and if I see you react in a better way than me, to a natural happenstance, we both have the same problem. Both having the dollars getting this, we're making less money, our husbands both lost their jobs, and I react healthier than you. That'll be growth. But a test means that there's something, a special type of test that I'm going through. If I'm going through a special type of test, that's never about there's going to be any type of appreciation for anybody in the community, not my family, nowhere. It's only about myself learning how to do the right thing. I say, unless we have that perspective, there's no way we can understand that Avraham Avinu could have 10 tests, because each test should have catapulted him to a position of importance that nobody would have dared start up with him. It makes no sense. How did anybody? The answer is he passed the test, and somehow the Almighty was able to organize in people's thinking that their opinion of him didn't change. Their respect didn't go up. In fact, not only did it go up, hey, listen, Paro tried. I'm going to try too. Paro didn't know how to do it. I don't know how to do it. Literally, he got less respect from passing tests rather than more respect from passing tests. That's what it means. He was given 10 tests. But it has to be that way, because that means when he now decided should he do the right thing when he's being tested, he understood there's no part of that criteria, part of the information that's reason, no part of the input is because it's going to be better for me. I'm not going to gain anything from this. Don't think the community is going to respect me more. Don't think I'm going to get wealthier. Don't think I'm going to become more powerful, because it's going to be totally irrelevant to anybody. And I guess in a way, don't think I'm going to have a happier life. How do you think a person who threw himself, allowed himself to be thrown into a furnace, uprooted himself and everything else, and has this magnificent child, and now he's off the derech? How do you think he feels? How would you feel? You know, you hear your Mosin efforts for God, you're religious, and maybe you're into Jewish education, and your child goes off the derech. It's like, instead of things getting better, instead of reward, it's the opposite. It didn't even benefit you. When you do something for the right reason, but it has to be that way, because then it's hard to do anything for the right reason. You'll only do it because it is beneficial. Test means doing things that have literally no benefit to you, other than your own growth, but no benefit that you can sit around and look that your kids are better, your family's better. That's not about a test. That the world will appreciate more, your friends will appreciate, there'll be more respect, nothing. It's about learning how to do the right thing. That's what the Mishnah is saying. Avram was tested in 10 things, which meant nothing that came before, nothing he accomplished changed his standing and status in the world other than the fact he did the right thing. That person, from doing the right thing when it doesn't look like it's in your interest and everything else and withstanding, yeah, that we get respect for. For doing the right thing, I think he did get respect for doing the right thing. But not because of what he did, there was any type of accomplishment. There was no respect. I dare say, I'm sure after the Akedah, he probably had more misnag than the Chassidah. What can they think about a father? A father sends away his kid. How could they feel that? That's a popular thing. He threw him out of the house. Work with your son. A little tough love in the house. What do you got? Throw him out of the house? Hashem said, do it. You have to do it. That was his test. But to think that that's going to increase his being a image of being a good parent, I don't believe anything. And that's what I'd like to suggest. The Mishnah is telling us 10 tests Abraham was tested is not like the tests of life or things that are part of the natural happenings. And whenever you pass those tests, it actually makes you stronger and your reputation. Like it's an accomplishment. This test has no accomplishments. The ones that Hashem devises, no accomplishment, only your growth, not your standing. And that's a very hard thing to go through a test when it's not going to be your growth. That's not part of the input that you put into the decision. Well, if I do this, I'm growing, plus I'm going to have more standing. There's no standing. You got no standing from anything you did. It's a little frightening, but I think it's a very healthy message, because when we are being tested, it's much better to focus not how I can, what I'm getting out of it and what I'm growing from it, which is what most of us focus when we go through a test, instead of what is the right, I want to do it because it's right. and not think about standing, because at the end of the day, there probably won't be any standing. Everybody should have a great Shabbos.